there was a quarrel and you were part of it, and the person came around for you to verification of their rights,
yeah,
or what they said was right, you'd always agree with them.
Yeah.
And then if the other person came around, you'd always agree with them too, because you didn't want to start another fight yourself.
Talking
about fights. This is another one that I have a vague recollection of, probably because I was so young. Joe and Jimmy were, mother would probably give you a better story of this, but Joe and Jimmy were, and Jimmy was on the ladder and Joe was coming up with some paint. And Joe said something, some word that just didn't go around. It said crap or something, I don't know what it was. And I don't really want to put this on here or not. As a result, Jimmy told Joe that he had no right to say something like that, and that that wouldn't go around here, and that wasn't going to go around him. And Joe said he'd say anything he pleased. And Jimmy said, "Well, you're not going to say that around me. I don't care when you say it, we're not going to say it around me." And as a result, Joe again said, "Yeah, yeah." And with that, Jimmy with the paintbrush hand slapped Joe on the head with a paintbrush. As a result, Joe threw the paint back at Jimmy, and they began a fight on the ladder, and they chased each other. But Jimmy chased Joe down the ladder into the front room, and with brush in hand, waving the brush over his head and chasing Joe, and into one of the biggest chairs we had in the parlor, and continued to beat Joe with a paintbrush. As a result, paint was all over the curtains, all over the chair. And the result of that was that Joe and Jimmy were reprimanded, and both of them had to earn 20 in order to pay for both the curtains and the chair. We have completely reupholstered the chair because the chair was ruined. One of these great big chairs for paint. So that's what we're
at the same time that I fell off the railing of the porch. I went out on the porch and was leaning over the railing to see who was coming up the side yard. And the porch railing was weak and went with me. And I fell down into the side yard with the railing.
Was that the same day?
That was the same day. And Daddy was in Malvern. This was Holy Week. And I was getting the kitchen painted while he was away. And I leaned over this railing. I had gone out on the porch to say goodbye to somebody. And leaned over the railing to see who was in the side yard. And as I did, the railing went and I went with it. And I was, as a consequence, was in bed for 3 days with a bruised and scraped knee, badly lacerated. And Pop came home from Malvern to find the kitchen half painted and to find me in bed. So it wasn't worthwhile my trying to get the kitchen paint with the two of them. Yes, I remember that very well. Paintbrush being thrown after Joe by Jimmy landed all the way right down the big chair and the curtains, as he says. And the chair had to be reupholstered and do anything with it. John, Eddie was living here for nearly 2 years, and this Sunday morning he went up. They were supposed to go up and make their beds and straighten up their room. And Eddie had his clothes all on the bed. John took the clothes off the bed to make the bed, and Eddie came over to the bureau and took the clothes and threw them back again. And John took the clothes off again so he could make the bed. And when he turned around, Eddie punched him in the mouth and loosened a tooth so badly that it was dead, and had John's mouth all bloody. I brought him down, had to take him up to Dr. Galligan. And he never did save that tooth. He couldn't. And Dad immediately took Eddie out of the house, put him up in St. Francis Industrial School. And he was there for the rest of the year, and then his father took him. That was the end of Eddie. But he was much bigger and heavier than John, you know.
Cut their hair, didn't you? Cut everybody's hair regularly?
Oh yeah, I always cut their hair, save barber expenses. One summer, they all had their heads shaved because a little girl that I had brought in to help me brought company with her. So in order to facilitate matters and quicker clean them up, I took them to the barber and had their heads all shaved. And they were a queer-looking tribe. There were six of them then. Or little ones, you know, and had their heads all shaved, close to the scalp.
But you regularly did barber work.
Oh, yeah, I cut their hair all the time, girls and boys, until they were old enough that they had to go to a barber. But up until then, I was the barber. I was the barber, I was the physician, I was the nurse. I was the housekeeper, I was the maid, I was the washing lady and everything else.
I was the shoemaker.
Well, even shoes I mended. Yes, indeed, everything, even that I did. You do everything when you have a lot of little children and not too much money. Yes, sir, I used the airplane in Seattle on the right on the beach, right in front of our porch. And, oh, great excitement. See, by the time they came and rescued it, the people had the plane almost pulled apart for souvenirs.
Well, didn't you help pull in on the rope?
No, the boys did. It was at night. And the boys went out and helped pull on the ropes to pull it in. And the fellow that was in it was saved. But that was in the first days of planes. It was a great novelty. All the whole island would congregate, you know, as soon as a plane came down or a plane was in sight. That was the time, that was the summer, that I went up in an airplane.
How come you went up?
Well, a man came along and wanted $10 for a trip. And Pop came up to me on the porch and he said, "Would you like to take a ride?" And I said, "I sure would." And my mother says, "Why, you're crazy." And I said, "No, I'm not crazy. If he wants to pay $10 for me to take a ride, I'm going to take a ride." So I said, "I'll get my sweater." And I went in and got a sweater and came out, went down to the beach and took the ride. I didn't find out till afterwards that he only had the one $10 bill he wanted to spend, and that I got the ride and he didn't. But that was the summer before Jimmy was born.
It was one of these double-winged things like this.
I haven't any idea what it was, except that they put you into the pit in back of the pilot and strapped you in. And
there was no windshield.
No, the wind was terrific, and the only sensation you had from it was of standing still.
Uh-huh.
You know, that when the plane got up there, you felt as though you were still instead of being the one that was going. And of course you could recognize the roads down below where automobiles were that you had been on before and been driven on. But and then we went out over the ocean, and Dad always tells the story that he never said such fervent Hail Marys in his life as when he saw this fella going out over the ocean. After all, he was paying him $10 for the ride, and I was getting the ride. And when I used to have these little barrels around that I made wine in, and there was one of them in the kitchen, and I wanted to take it to the cellar, and Pat carried it, tried to carry it down to the cellar for me, and he only got about halfway down, and he fell in the cake with him, and the cake caught him on the knee.
Yeah, I remember that now.
And
cut it open.
Cut the knee open, and I had to take him over, or had to have the doctor for him. The doctor came over here and put stitches in it. He was laying on the couch in the front room. He was a little Spartan, though, you know. I mean, in his attitude, he would just take anything, and the tears were just forced out of him when the doctor was sewing this knee up, but he just took it, and no crying or screaming about him, but the tears were coming down his face, just practically forced out of him. It was very, very seldom that Pat cried or showed any emotion of any sort. He was really quite a Spartan type.
Well, what about Joe? Do you remember any things about Joe? About his birth?
Yeah, Joe was born here at home. The 10th of June, and he was born sometime in the early morning. And when Joe was about 2 weeks old, Pete was married.
Pete Gillen.
Yeah, Pete Gillen. And I went to Pete's wedding. I remember that much about Joe. It's always associated with Joe's birth. And Pete's marriage together. But I don't remember anything particular about the birth that was made it any different from any of the others, except that he was born here at home. It was sometime in the early morning, well, say about 7 or 8 o'clock. I remember that.
Where was Dad then?
He was here. We had a nurse engaged, and I remember Pete Gillen was living here at the time, and he came in, and he was working night work. And I sent him out with a Ford, wherever this nurse lived, to go get her, and brought her in. And then I would have that old couch now down in Seattle.
Yeah.
And have that in my room, and a nurse would sleep on that. It was like a single bed. She would sleep there.
Yeah, I remember. Had it right up against the door.
Yeah. And I don't remember any more about Joe except that...
What kind of a baby was he? Character?
I don't remember anything about him except that he cried a great deal. Of course, most of them cried a great deal because I had a great deal of trouble getting food to agree with them. And then you would get a food that would you thought was all right, was agreeing with them, and all of a sudden they'd go off again. And either have an upset stomach or have diarrhea, and then you'd have to change to some other food. Pasteurizing milk and sterilizing bottles and making up whatever formula was to do for the 24 hours. Of course, when they got a little bit older and then started to get along on the food, things sort of straightened themselves out, but they never did until they were nearly a year old. It was always a struggle to raise them.
Joe was always a kind of an easygoing character.
Yes, Joe was always easygoing. As a child, he was the sort that was always on the run. I remember taking pictures when we'd go to have pictures taken. Joe was always the one that would be the obstreperous one in the crowd. Even his picture up there shows it. He would run away from the man that had the camera, bring him back a half a dozen times before you'd get the picture. And Jimmy, on the other hand, would always stick out his tongue or shut his eyes or something else to spoil the picture all the time, invariably. When you go to have a picture taken, the night before, one of them would cut their hair in some terrible way that it was just cut pieces out of the front bang, or cut some part of it in the front that showed, that would always be a trouble and a trial to you to get hold of the scissors and cut their hair. Always had to be sort of held down, and he was kind of a troublesome fellow that was always getting into some sort of scrape or mess of some kind. And he did all right at school, but I don't think was brilliant in any way. Some of the others, he sort of lost face a little bit, some of the others overstepping him. Grew up into a fine boy, and he was interested in athletics.